America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. And we're listening to a 1990 cover of Down Home Blues by Billy Branch, James Cotton, Carrie Bell, and Junior Wells. This is the perfect backdrop for our next conversation, where we head over to Rosa's Lounge in Logan Square. Now, as the crowds showing up there get younger and younger, the Blues Club's making a pivot of sorts to keep that old tradition alive. After more than 40 years in the business, they're launching a new record label and hoping to get the sounds of Chicago blues and R&B artists out to more ears via streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube Music. Now, Rosa's Lounge Records has already taken the leap. Award-winning musician Billy Branch and his group, the Sons of Blues, was the first artist signed to the label, making this a sweet full-circle moment. At the table was blues artist Billy Branch himself, Rosa Branch, his wife and acting manager, and also Tony Mangiulo and Marnie Willinson, who are co-founders of Rosa's Lounge Records. In this conversation, our panel is going to walk you through the venue's origin story, dig into the creation of the record label, and explain how Rosa's Lounge Records is helping Chicago musicians profit directly from their work for years to come. I started the conversation by taking a trip down memory lane. Tony founded Rosa's in 1984, but his love of the genre, well, it started way before that when he was a teenager in Italy. Here he is explaining what drew him to the blues.
I was definitely attracted to music, and I was attracted to finding my own identity,
mm-hmm.
and learning about the blues. I was definitely attracted and share the same value.
Yeah, and you were a musician yourself.
Yeah, I'm a drummer. Yeah.
You're a drummer, okay. Mm-hmm. And you traveled to other cities and in other countries, and I hear you see concerts, and you sort of dive into the culture, right, and get records. Tell us more.
Well, so I met Buddy Guy and Junior Wells back in Italy.
Oh, there's a good start.
Yeah, and it was just like a piece of the puzzle missing, because so far all I did was play records and learn things from records, listening, people talk about the blues or reading books or trying to translate lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning more about the people of the blues.
Yeah.
But meeting Junior Wells, it was just like an eye-opener.
Yeah.
And Buddy Guy, of course.
So fast forward to you opening Rosa's. What should we know about that moment?
Well, that moment was also crucial because my inspiration for Rosa's Lounge was actually Teresa's Lounge. Mm. That was my very first environment here in Chicago.
Okay.
And of course, that would not be happening without my mother, Rosa, who came to actually take me back to Italy.
But you said, no, I'm staying.
I said, well, Mama Rosa said, you know, if you want to stay, we have to open a business. And, of course, there was no plan for a blues club.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it turned out to be naturally. Yeah.
Billy, let's bring you in here because you were the very first performer to hit the stage at Rosa's. I'm assuming you remember that night.
No.
Okay, bad assumption. Well, what have they told you about how it went?
Well, I've been a staple at Rosa's for many years. I call it my North Side home. And looking back, you know, and given the legacy now that it's that Rosa's Lounge has become, mm-hmm. you know, that is... It was just a great moment, you know, because Rosa's has featured Chicago's and some of the nation's best artists, you know, and to look back and have that accolade, you know, as being the first artist is pretty meaningful. When Tony's mother, Mama Rosa, would run the bar, basically, she was behind the bar, and she ran it with iron fists. but I was happy to be included as one of her sons. You know, she called her sons as well.
Nice.
And, you know, Rosa's is always advertised as Chicago's friendliest blues lounge, which is true.
Is
you
that
know,
true?
Tony goes out of his way and greets the customers, and it's, you know, just got a special homey kind of atmosphere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rosa Branch, not to be confused with the Rosa behind Rosa's Lounge. What are your memories, your early memories, you know, heading over to the club with this guy?
Well, Mama Rosa was kind enough to say to me, "You are Mama Rosa too." So
she said, we can share the same name.
We
That's
can
fine.
Share that. We can share that. It was just always a fun, rich environment to walk into. You always feel welcome. There's a sense of positive anticipation when you walk in there. You know you're going to hear authentic down-home blues and in an intimate setting. And so it's always an exciting time and still is.
Marnie, what do you think the role of Rosa's has become when it comes to Chicago's music scene?
Well, I'm the least qualified person sitting at this table to answer that. And I didn't show up on the scene until 10 years after Tony opened the club. I was a law student looking for something more interesting to do.
You were in a different world.
Completely different world.
But I will hear from them. But I'm curious, just from your viewpoint, what does it look like to you? I mean, I'm sure you see the response, right? And folks showing up every week to this spot, and of course thinking of the evolution to what we're talking about today, right? Going from Rosa's Lounge to Rosa's Lounge Records.
Yeah, I mean, the club is iconic, and it was even when I was a customer back in 1994. It was a very friendly place, very open to everyone.
Different being on the other side now, isn't it?
Very different. And there was a gap period where I didn't come very much because I was raising our kids. And it's a nighttime venue.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be back, actively involved. Mm-hmm. And it's a very diverse audience. I think it's very inspiring to see the audience, depending on the act that's playing. It can bring in a very, you know, different type of crowd, can tend towards younger or older or people of all different races or backgrounds, yeah, depending on who's playing. It's a very welcoming place, I think. Most everyone finds it that way. You have tourists coming from all over the world.
That's wonderful.
Some people that had, like, it's a destination for them. People coming from across the world knowing that they want to go to Chicago and go to Rosa's.
Yeah.
So it is very inspiring.
So then, Tony, tell us, why this record label and why now?
Okay. Well, as the way I see it, this is a natural extension of what I've been doing all through my 42 years of being open. I always thought that we had something valuable and something of the moment that is valuable. And I always want to keep some kind of record of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was a VHS or a cassette recording or, you know, just a simple photograph.
Yeah.
But I really thought that we had something valuable. And I wanted to keep that for future. So the record company actually is a step.
A step toward that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without even thinking that we started live streaming back, 5 years ago? But we go back 12 years ago. We've been live streaming since, my God, I don't even remember, 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what kind of artists are you looking to work with?
You mean future?
Yes.
I mean, as on a record label?
Correct.
We're
starting things off with Billy Branch.
Yeah.
So you already set that bar pretty high.
Pretty high. In fact, he's going to be our artist for a long time.
Yeah.
But, yes, we definitely to be a record company, we're going to need to show some maturity, and we need to work with other artists.
Yeah. Turning back to my lawyer at the table here, Marnie, because you're doing something very interesting, right? You're giving the artists the chance to retain their intellectual property. For people who just heard me say that and it went right over their heads, explain why that's important and how you're actually going to ensure that.
I mean, it's crucial to what we're doing. I mean, the idea behind the club is to be very artist-centered and to kind of resist the exploitation that a lot of artists have faced, not just in blues or even particularly in blues, but across the music industry. So artists have what you've referenced lawyers call intellectual property rights. They have an ownership in their music. So there's an ownership in the song. And the first song that we released, which is Billy's song, is called Begging for Change. And then they have an ownership right in what's called the master, which is the record, the recording of that. So when we do business with artists and we reach agreements with artists, they're all going to be licensing agreements. They're not agreements where they're recording and we're buying their copyrights in their work, or we're just taking them. It was very typical for decades. From the start of the music industry, the label would record them, an artist would go to a recording studio and they would record and they'd end up owning nothing.
Right. That happens a lot.
It still happens.
That happens a lot, yeah.
Right.
A lot of times it's just because they simply don't know.
Also that it is incredibly complex. I've had to read and reread. I have not been a music and entertainment lawyer through my career, and some of the founding of the label relates to my pivot in my career. I'm a civil rights litigator by training and have done that for almost 30 years.
Really?
And this is a pivot for me in a completely different direction. But the principles behind it for me are the same, and that's protecting and advocating for the rights of people who have typically not have their rights, been able to assert their rights. So again, we're doing licensing agreements, which means just in Billy's case, as an example, he had a studio recording, brought it to us. That will remain his recording.
Amazing.
We're licensed. He's recorded the master rights to us. The record itself is exclusively licensed to us. And then the songs, he retains all his ownership interest in the songs.
Yeah.
So it's just a completely different model.
That's wonderful. Billy, you're nodding here. I mean, that's got to feel great. As the artist.
It does, because it's unusual, it's unique. And in addition, it's really refreshing to have a voice in the decision-making process, which my producer, Larry Batiste, he's from Oakland, he really thought that was, he's never seen that, and he's worked with a lot of artists, outside of, you know, anybody from Stevie Wonder and Santana, but he said for an artist to have a voice in the direction of the label and, you know, the decision-making process is almost non-existent.
Yeah.
So that feels good.
Rosa, what were conversations like between you and Billy just when he was presented with this opportunity to be the first artist on the label under these types of terms?
It felt right. There was, these are people that we trust with our hearts. We know these people, and we feel nurtured by them, as opposed to it. And, you know, there's all sorts of different kinds of relationships you can have with record companies, and they can become adversarial too. And in this case, we feel nurtured and we feel a collaborative part of the process, and that means the world to us.
That's so important. Marnie teased it earlier, so I think it's time for us to listen to Begging for Change. This is Billy Branch's new song, first song on the label.
I look down and I see he's got no shoes on his feet. He says all my kids are hungry, my rent is past due.
So I got to know the inspiration for writing this song, Billy.
Well, both Rosa and I are pretty much political animals. And we've been envisioning this project for some years. And, you know, the title of the entire album is The Blues Is My Biography.
Mm-hmm.
But given the current political, global political climate, you see that people are struggling. And it's hard times for everyone. And people are dissatisfied in many instances, and we're not even going to go down that road right here.
Yeah.
But people are unhappy with their governments, and they have little recourse to be able to alter that trajectory, you know, or make changes. And so I had this idea. I was sitting on it for a few years, and I brought in my good buddy. I call him my little brother, one of the stellar guitar players, Ronnie Baker Brooks, and we started collaborating, and then we ended up sharing. Ronnie brought verses and as well as an arrangement to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that it has the potential to be a global anthem because, as I just stated, you don't have to be a genius to be aware of what's going around around the planet.
It's a relatable topic.
Yeah.
It's a relatable topic. Where will this music stream, Marnie?
Well, it's already streaming on Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube Music. It will be out on basically every platform, Deezer, Tidal.
So, Tony, you're hoping that this will expand your audience, yes?
Absolutely. I think it will. Yes. And already is already doing it. Yeah.
Do you have a roster at all of artists that you're thinking about or have in the pipeline that maybe you can share?
No, actually not.
But, I'm trying to get the secrets.
No. It's true. Actually, we're going to focus on Billy Branch for the moment.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some other artists that actually know now they are finding out and that they wanted to be part of it. Yes.
And that they're paying attention now, right? So Billy, this single, Begging for Change, this was just released the first weekend in August. The album that you teased, The Blues Is My Biography, when can we expect that full release?
November
7th.
Yes, let me ask the artist manager. How silly of me.
No. That's okay, but everybody knows if you want to know something, don't ask me.
Ask Rosa.
In terms of dates.
My sincere apologies. Rosa, when can we expect the full album?
The full album, November 7th. But before that point, we'll release two more singles. Mm. And he'll be doing some local gigs between now and then as well.
Yeah. That conversation we were just having just about Spotify and YouTube Music and all the streaming services out there. Does that excite you too, the potential there?
Of course.
Tell me about that.
Well, the fact that your music is available around the world instantaneously and can organically grow an audience it's pretty remarkable and a significant part of today's technology.
I remember when it was scary territory, I think, for an artist to have your music out there instantaneously, right? Because you thought, oh, wait, am I losing money here?
Right.
What's going on?
Well, there is that.
But look how we've evolved, right, Marnie?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the royalties from Spotify are terrible for the artists.
Yeah.
But we'll be pressing vinyl and CDs, so we'll have those also.
Any hope with YouTube, maybe? Or
maybe.
Apple?
I mean, those,
is that a little better?
Well, Spotify's the worst.
Of the three.
So there is that. Yeah, well, the many.
But Begging is on all of those platforms right now.
Yeah, Begging is out. The whole album will hit the radio airwaves on September 1st.
Nice.
So it'll be available. People might hear it on the radio.
Yeah.
And Begging is already on SiriusXM.
Nice.
As well.
And as folks look out, Tony, for what's to come from Rosa's Lounge Records, I mean, what do you want to say to them as far as what to expect or, you know, just exciting things down the pike?
Well, you know, obviously we need to expand. We need to, and I don't think we're going to have difficulty. There's going to be other artists that wanted to be part of this.
Knocking on your door.
Yeah. I see this as a movement. of yes.
Yeah. And we'll leave it there. Nothing more to say.
I had to look.
You also had to look to the wife.
I had to look at the co-founder.
We'll leave it there then. Tony Mangiulo and Marnie Willinson are co-founders of Rosa's Lounge Records. Billy Branch is the very first artist signed to the label, and Rosa Branch is his better half. Thank you all. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. You can also check out our archive at wbez.org/reset. Thanks for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.